How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. I am back in the studio here this week, and we are broadcasting live. I'm not going to do a big intro because I want to get right into this topic. This is a topic that is a hot button for me. It's something that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks on this show, which is around innovations outside of Silicon Valley, but also the innovation-driven entrepreneurship. So let's hop right into this and let's get on topic with this. So I want to bring in our guest, Ross Baird. Ross is the founder and CEO of Village Capital, but he's got such a variety of backgrounds. Really, Ross has written this book, which we'll talk about. Got it here in the studio. You'll see all my little post-it tabs on the book binding, called The Innovation Blind Spot, Why We Back the Wrong Ideas and What to Do About It. But when reading this book, though, Ross hits it right on the head, at least in my opinion. We're going to talk about it today in the show, around the challenges of entrepreneurship, particularly around how do ideas get picked, how do they get funded, and how do we enable entrepreneurial success? So, Ross, thanks for taking the time out of your Sunday to spend it with us here at Killer Innovations.
It is great to be here. I'd rather not be anywhere else.
So, I always start the show when I know something about a little bit about someone's background. I've had a lot of young entrepreneurs. I've had high school students who've invented devices to return movement to people with strokes who then have gone on and get funding for medical device companies, et cetera. So I'm always interested in people's backgrounds and how did you get involved and interested in entrepreneurship? And if I read right in the book, you made that call at 6 years old. So give us the background on that. That's probably the earliest I've ever heard anybody say that they're putting a stake in the ground on what it is they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like many people on the show, I have always been starting stuff. I tell the story in the book about how when I was a kid, I had a bunch of stuffed animals and I wanted to start a zoo where I showed my family around and introduced them to stuffed animals and charged them admission. My mom, when I was writing the book, reminded me that nobody in my family actually paid to come to the zoo, which was probably my first failed venture. But yeah, I've never known any other way than to get out there and try and hack away and solve a problem or start a venture.
So talk a little bit about, then you've had a bunch of companies that you've started or been a part of. So walk us through a little bit of that experience history that you've gone through.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I thought that there were two different choices you could make in your career. You could either start a business and make as much money as you could, but it didn't really matter what the business did. It was just whatever could make as much money as possible, or you could do good things. And that involved starting a nonprofit or getting involved in government or something for society. And my first serious startup was when I was a freshman in college. I came up with a education technology platform to help teach civics. It was in the early 2000s, and I thought politics could not get any more bitter or nasty. And, you know, 2017 proved me wrong. But I thought it was important for young people to learn about politics. And I originally started this as a nonprofit, but I had a mentor who invested $10,000 in the platform, and he persuaded me to see this as a potential business opportunity. So I think most of my career has been pursuing businesses that can be very successful businesses, but also have some broader benefit for the world.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I picked that up in your book. I mean, one of the things that I've been involved in is started off as what's called the Unreasonable Institute here in, mm-hmm. here in Boulder. When I was at HP, HP was the original money into Unreasonable. It started off mentoring nonprofit social impact groups. And we did that for 2 years. Then we kind of said, you know something? Trying to do that as a nonprofit drives a whole different set of decision makings that if you just run it as a for-profit with impact being the objective of the end result of what you're doing on a normal for-profit business. Is that what you found?
Yeah, so in the book I tell the story when I started Village Capital, and Village Capital invests in businesses in sectors like energy or sustainable agriculture or fair financial services that can improve the world if the businesses are successful. And, you know, I originally pitched a guy. I basically cold called every person with money I could find, like any young entrepreneur. And I found one guy who took a meeting, and he said, this is an interesting idea, investing in businesses that are also doing good things. But look, young man, I've got two pockets. With one pocket, I make as much money as I can. And when I've got enough, I put the rest in my other pocket and I give it all away. And I don't really understand which pocket you're asking me for. And I think most of society thinks in two pockets, you know, either you're a nonprofit or you're a business, and they don't meet in the middle. But I think what happens is, you know, we have a lot of businesses that have really problematic ethical issues. And we have a lot of nonprofits that are run not particularly sustainably. And I think that one pocket thinking is the way I prefer to see the world.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually an excellent point, because one, today, as I'm a CEO of a nonprofit, not a charity, but it's a nonprofit tax-exempt R&D lab funded by industry. But on the flip side is in my family, we actually run two nonprofit 501c3s, right? Mm-hmm. One for Pioneer Education, which is creating creativity curriculums for schools in Rwanda, and then Hacking Autism. And but it is interesting, when I talk to people, when you tell them about the 501c3s, it's kind of a complete change in mindset in the way the conversation goes.
And, you know, I think that's a real blind spot. I mean, we're seeing right now, you know, Silicon Valley used to be the envy of the world, but I would say that the last year or so has not been particularly kind to technology or Silicon Valley. And we're seeing, for example, Facebook said it doesn't really matter what you want to post, so long as you pay, we can put whatever you want out there. And, you know, then you see Facebook taking money from Russia for election advertising, or you see white supremacist advertising on Facebook, and all of a sudden people say, well, wait a second, maybe not all money is good money. Maybe there are some ethical issues that we didn't think about. And so, you know, I think that technology right now has historically thought that, you know, everything we do is good and positive. And I think it's led us into some pretty serious ethical dilemmas. So just like the nonprofit world could benefit more from one pocket thinking, I think the business world could benefit a lot more from one pocket thinking as well.
Yeah. And I agree. I mean, you know, there's a lot of challenges in Silicon Valley. I've done two rounds of living out there, you know, in the early 80s, and then I achieved escape velocity until I got convinced by HP to go back, you know, for another round in the valley. And believe me, when I was done at 11, my wife was anxious to get the heck out of there. But it does amplify the issue of where everybody kind of has this belief that all innovation is good, and that's not the case. And also the belief that that when you think of innovation, people think Silicon Valley, which is not the case either. Mm-hmm. So there's two fallacies that get wrapped up in this, you know, this hot buzzword of innovation, that, you know, innovation's magic and everybody wants to be part of it. You kind of point this out in your book, around what you call entrepreneurship is not a meritocracy. We've got a couple of minutes before we need to take a commercial break. So give us a quick definition, and then when we come back, we'll pick this up.
Yeah, so in the innovation blind spot, I start with one of our companies that we've worked with called Lend Street. And the founder, Jerry Namoran, started his company in Charlottesville, African-American guy. And the company basically provides a fairer alternative in financial services than payday loans or loan sharks that rip off poor people in America. Jerry had a great idea, and he went out and he started his company, and he really struggled to raise money. And I met him about 2 years in, and I was like, "You're great. This business model is great. It seems like it's doing well. Why haven't you raised money?" And he goes, "You know, the investment world is all about pattern recognition." And they said it's a good thing. And look, I'm a black guy. I live in Central Virginia, and I'm solving poor people's problems. I'm 0 for 3. Jerry struggled to get off the ground, not because he had a bad business, but because 80% of startup investment is in three states, California, New York, Massachusetts. Less than 5% is in women. Less than 1% is in people of color. I mean, he didn't fit the patterns of like Mark Zuckerberg in a hoodie, and he struggled. We can talk about how to fix it when we get back. I see we're running out of time for now, but that's the problem we're trying to solve.
And you've nailed it right on the head. This has been a topic that we've had. You know, Kim and I have had a number of shows here on Killer Innovations and also on her show on KDOW. Around, for instance, the gender challenges, the ageism, the diversity programs, et cetera. Entrepreneurship, not a meritocracy. We're going to pick up this topic when we come back right after this quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue our conversation, continue to talk with Ross Barrett about his book, The Innovation Blind Spot. So don't go anywhere. And we'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Thank you.
Carpenters have their hammers and saws.
We are out.
Chefs have their outfitted kitchens. And musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda? Or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit pioneereducationafrica.com to find out more.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Before we hop back into the show, just want to do a quick shout-out to the sponsor for this segment, and that is Zoom. Zoom is a great video collaboration technology. I use it every day. But specifically for the topic we're talking about, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Your ability to connect to other entrepreneurs, other innovators, investors, anywhere in the world and stay connected with what's going on, you've got to try it out. We've made a special arrangement. Zoom is giving out a free account that will allow you to collaborate with up to 50. That's right, 50 people simultaneously. So you can hold a webinar. You can just have a very large team. Take advantage of it if you haven't tried it. It's killerinnovations.com/Zoom. And you get your chance to get connected on a global basis with other innovators, other entrepreneurs, just like you. So let's pick up the, excuse me one second, we're having just a little, there we go, got to bring Ross back in. So Ross, right before we went to commercial break, we were talking about this entrepreneurship is not a meritocracy. So fill us in a little bit more. You gave us that little teaser story about, you know, this gentleman in Virginia. He was 0 for 3 for pattern recognition. So expand upon that a little bit, because I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are just highly frustrated. They think that they've got this really great idea, and their only hope is they got to go to Boston, New York, Silicon Valley, wherever the hot spot is for their particular area of focus. So fill us in. Give us a little more thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, if I whenever I tell the story of Jerry Namorin being 0 for 3, a black guy in Central Virginia solving poor people's problems, whether who you are or where you live or what industry you're in, you know, I hear basically every entrepreneur nod when they say that, saying I'm 1 for 3, I'm 2 for 3. If you're not a white guy in Silicon Valley solving like rich people in Silicon Valley's problems, it seems like the venture capital world isn't interested. And in many ways that you're not wrong. Capital is really concentrated in Silicon Valley. But the really good news is we're seeing a wave of investors and a wave of support organizations looking at different people, places, industries. So I'd say, for example, if you're in Central Virginia or you're in Kentucky or Northern Tennessee, there's an amazing agriculture ecosystem. If you're in a place like Minneapolis or Nashville, there's a great health ecosystem. I think people who try and act like Silicon Valley technology entrepreneurs, whether you're a founder or whether you're a community, you tend to fail. If you figure out what your competitive advantage as a founder or what your competitive advantage as a city is, you tend to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I just gave a talk at the AOL, the old AOL headquarters in D.C. just a couple of weeks ago. I did a lunch speech there, a couple hundred people in the audience. And one of the things we got into was this issue of this polar, you know, we talk about polarization of politics. It's this polarization of entrepreneurship, this pull. Mm-hmm. And what it's really doing to the lack of creating job opportunities, good, high-paying, quality jobs, local economic development, support for getting people to stay in the community. I lived 6 years in Urbana-Champaign, home of University of Illinois, doing spin-off technologies from U of I. We couldn't keep anybody in Urbana-Champaign. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, my one claim to fame is I actually rented office space to Mark Andreessen when he was a student. So, you know, I should say, Mark, should I get a little piece of the whole?
You did all right. Yeah.
The whole thing here. But then, soon as the money came in, Mark and that team, boom, bolted to Silicon Valley. So, part of your book also talks about the role of startup companies and the impact that it has on the economy and what it does on jobs. So this whole issue of entrepreneurship is not a meritocracy has a trickle-down effect mm-hmm. of not creating jobs and not creating economic opportunity. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think when we think of entrepreneurship, we think of tech, venture capital, Silicon Valley, but that's a one-size-fits-all. Entrepreneurs come in all different shapes and sizes, and if you don't feel like a Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur, that's okay. You can build an amazing business. It's incredible. When I was writing the book, I looked at the history of venture capital. And venture capital, this came out of structures we used to invest in the whaling industry in the 1810s. Basically, you send out 10 whaling expeditions, 9 shipwreck or mutiny, 1 comes back with a whale. That fits the kind of Silicon Valley tech unicorn mentality today. But most businesses don't look like that. Most businesses don't have a high failure rate, but a high chance of being a $1 billion company. Most businesses are reasonably successful and are the backbone of their communities, employing 50, 100, 200 people. And so we think that there's an opportunity for investors to invest differently in companies that grow more like this rather than inventing hockey sticks. And we mm-hmm. think if you're an entrepreneur and you grow steadily and you grow profitably, you should say that to investors. You should say, listen, I'm not going to be a unicorn, but I am going to grow 20% year over year. And maybe there's a different way that I can raise money other than technology style venture capital.
Right, exactly. The part of it is that the venture capitalist, in some cases, it's not smart money. It's just peanut buttered across as many number of deals versus having investors who are in fewer deals who can get more deeply engaged and actually help you be successful rather than just throwing money at you.
Let me give you an example of one of these companies that is a very different story. So we invested in Paducah, Kentucky, which is one of the poorest counties in the country.
I know Paducah, Kentucky very well. My wife and I got married in Henderson, Kentucky. Evansville, Indiana.
I mean, you know what we're talking about.
Like, I know exactly what you're talking about, Paducah.
That the next tech company is going to grow up there, but that's okay. Paducah has an amazing agriculture economy. Yep. And, you know, when you talk about how divided America is, I think Paducah looks at the tech ecosystem and feels kind of left out, feels like maybe they're not talking about us. We invested in a company called Fin Gourmet in Paducah, Kentucky. And what Fin Gourmet does is it's this amazing woman. She and her partner started this business. They catch invasive Asian carp, which is a huge environmental threat throughout the whole Mississippi River watershed. Yep. They pay a living wage job to people to go out and fish for a living, which in rural Kentucky is probably the best job you can get. They fillet the fish. They rebrand Asian carp, what they call Kentucky Blue Snapper, and they sell it to the high-end restaurants in New York and San Francisco, and they make a couple million dollars a year. So we invested in this amazing, you know, marketing and fishing venture. And it wasn't venture capital style equity wasn't the right tool. We said, we're going to do a revenue share with you guys. And this may be a structure you want to look more into if you're an entrepreneur. We take 5% of the company's top line revenue. If they win, we win. If they don't make money, we don't make money. We win together until we get 3x our return on investment. And as a result, the company can grow at whatever rate is comfortable and we can do well. And so thinking, when we talk about innovation, we think about what the next big idea is, but thinking about how we innovate, whether it's a creative investment structure for Kentucky Blue Snapper or whatever else it might be, that's where we've got room to really change the world.
Well, that is great. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, I can't believe it. Paducah, Kentucky. I haven't heard about Paducah, Kentucky in 30 years since I left Indiana. So when we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation here with Ross, more about what he's doing. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. On your time.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees. So you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN bridge program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. Before we hop back into the show, I need to do another shout-out to one of our sponsors. This segment is being sponsored by HP. This is the portion of Hewlett-Packard that is part of the PC, printers, consumer products, also enterprise products in that category. Yes, I know you're going to say, hey, Phil, you're biased. You used to be the CTO at HP, which is true. But HP has been focusing on bringing to market a number of great new technologies, 3D printing. So particularly if you're an entrepreneur working on that design, development, building new kinds of physical products, and you need that rapid prototyping, check out what HP is doing on the 3D printer side. In fact, this week, HP's announced that they will soon be releasing 3D printing for metal, so you can actually print your parts themselves. So check it out. Also, security has been one of the big issues, one of the big topics. I just recently got a new HP EliteBook 360, and I'm telling you, what they've done on security is second to none, so check it out. You can see all of the technologies that HP's installed here in the studio that we are using every day. You go over to killerinnovations.com/HP, check it out, or go directly over to HP.com, see what they're up to. And if you do something with them, let them know you heard about it here in the show. It's a big help for us, and we greatly appreciate it. So let's hop back in. We were having a conversation with Russ Baer, the author of The Innovation Blind Spot, and I'm telling you, there aren't that many books that come across my desk that I get this excited about, but boy, this is right down the sweet spot for me. And let's talk a little bit about, okay, what are the three characteristics of this innovation blind spot? You identify them in the book, and I think the listeners would greatly benefit from hearing about those.
Yeah, so the purpose of the innovation blind spot isn't to say get rid of your blind spots. It's human nature. We all have blind spots. They're all things we're good at. We all have weaknesses. It's if you're self-aware of your blind spots, you can overcome them. So the first blind spot is it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's people tend to, instead of going after the best ideas, go for the ideas that they know and understand. You hire your friends or you invest in, oh, you know, I know this guy from college and he's really, really good. And they may be good, but if you expand your field of vision beyond just who you know, you actually are able to find much, much better ideas. So that's the first one. The second one is one size fits all. And I was talking earlier about venture capital. Only 1% of businesses in America raise venture capital. Yet it's the only thing people talk about if you look at Shark Tank or you look in the media. So if you are in the 99% of businesses, you are unlikely to raise Silicon Valley style venture capital. You should maybe pursue other methods for financing for your business, whether it's creative investment like we did with FinGourmet or a bank loan. And then the third blind spot, like we talked about earlier in the show, is the idea of two-pocket versus one-pocket thinking. Most people running a business think that doing good is not part of the business, and most people running a nonprofit think that they shouldn't do it sustainably. But I'd actually argue that one-pocket businesses, one-pocket nonprofits, both pretty substantially outperform.
Yeah, so I'm going to get back to the first point, which is who you know. Does that also apply then to you get the heavy influence of the people who potentially could fund you by doing it the way you think they want it done?
Yeah, I see this all the time. When an entrepreneur meets with an investor and you try and figure out how to pitch the business so the investor hears what they want to hear. And the very best investors actually know when you're doing that. They know when you're telling them exactly what they want to hear, and they like you less because of it. The very best investors look for self-confidence. And so, you know, Village Capital, we are a very, we have a very unusual way of investing. We actually have entrepreneurs themselves make investment decisions. It's different. But the reason why is we as investors have biases around what we like. And we think when you're inventing new businesses, actually entrepreneurs tend to have better spidey sense about which businesses are going to work out or not. But when I talk about Village Capital, that's weird. That's different. Most people don't like that. And I kind of lead with my weakness. I say, let me tell you, the first thing I'm going to tell you about Village Capital is we make investments in a completely different way. And people love it when you're different and interesting.
So then let me ask you a question. Is there one way around that then, is potentially having mentors? Are mentors helpful or harmful, have you seen with some of these companies that are kind of in this, not they fall outside the pattern recognition?
You know, the amazing thing about blind spots is you don't see them. So for example, and this is kind of a sad story, one of my favorite companies, the guy grew up, he never knew his dad. He grew up in the poorest part of Atlanta, and he didn't go to college until he was in his late 20s. And when he was in his late teens, he got in a fight and got something on his criminal record. And he went to college, amazing, you know, ran an amazing business. And when he raised money, an early investor turned him down because he found out that 20 years ago he had something on his criminal record. He goes, I don't like to invest in felons. And the guy was devastated. I mean, it was a pretty biased thing, but he was like, is this thing on my record 20 years ago going to follow me for the rest of my life? But he went to a mentor, and his mentor said, you are the worst storyteller I've ever heard. His mentor said, you have an amazing story. She said, listen, you know, as a kid, I grew up in a hard part of town. I ended up getting in trouble with the law, but I turned it around. I put myself through college. I'm starting this business, and I've overcome far more than any other entrepreneur you meet, because that should be the first thing out of your mouth. So a thing that he thought was a blind spot, something in his past, a mentor helped him figure out how to say, like, this is actually the strongest part of your biography. You've overcome things that a guy who grew up in a nice part of town never even had to deal with. And an investor will love that.
Oh, wow. That is an amazing story. Now go back to the two pocket, one pocket. How do you think nonprofits ought to be thinking differently about how they engage with addressing some of the society issues that they're trying to do?
Yeah, you know, very often nonprofits, if you're a business, your revenue is pretty clear. If you don't solve a problem for a customer, you're dead. And if you're a nonprofit, so long as you can keep raising grant capital, you kind of survive. And I know a lot of nonprofits in this zombie state that ends up being like, we don't really know what we do. We'll do whatever the people with money will fund. And you're successful at raising money, but you're not successful at accomplishing your mission. And so taking a step back and saying, what is the problem we are actually trying to solve? Who benefits from it? Is there a way they could pay? Is there a revenue model? If there's not a revenue model, what's the story we're going to tell to a philanthropist about why there's not a revenue model? I see nonprofits falling into a trap of what will rich people fund versus what they should be asking, which is what is the problem we're trying to solve? And it may, and odds are you will both earn more revenue and get more grants if you're more focused on the problem that you're trying to solve.
So now I'm gonna turn the tables on you here, Ross, and ask you, so for your fund, what's the problem you're trying to solve? When you go out and talk to the limited partners and you're trying to pitch for money, what's the problem you're trying to solve?
I told this story earlier of Jerry Namorin, the 0-for-3 problem. That's the problem we're trying to solve. Jerry is a person of color who lives in a place that's not a coastal city, and is solving poor people's problems, solving one pocket problems. if you are an entrepreneur and you're a woman, you're an African American, you're a Latino, you're from a different country, you don't speak English very well, the market undervalues you. If you're in Charlottesville or Paducah, the market undervalues you. And if you're a one pocket company, the market actually undervalues you. So I would say to LPs, that's actually really stupid business on the rest of the market. People who are 0-for-3, 1-for-3, 2-for-3 will actually have greater impact if they succeed than the next tech out of Stanford. And actually, you'll make more money when they succeed because the value that we invest is much better because the rest of the market isn't valuing them as high. So we say the 0-for-3 problem, solving it's a one-pocket solution. It's better for society. And I think you'll make more money if you invest in 0-for-3 entrepreneurs.
So real quick, we got only 1 minute before we go to commercial break. What's been the reaction from the people that you've reached out to for investors? Do they get that story?
Yeah, so we have $18 million in our fund. We have 30 investors. I actually pitched about 1,000 investors, and 970 of them said no. So if you're listening to the show, do the math. I mean, we have everything we need from 30 people, even though almost everybody said no. But we have great entrepreneurs like Steve Case, the founder of AOL, Mitch Kapoor, and his wife, Frida, who invented the spreadsheet through Lotus. And you know, if you cast a wide net, are confident in the problem you're solving, even if most people say no, you'll get enough yeses to make a go at it.
Perfect. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Ross to kind of, if you are in that kind of not in the pattern recognition area, what would be his advice to you, given all the companies that he's worked with? So don't go anywhere. You want to hear this advice when we come back from this commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? family. We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to the show. We are going to hop right into the end of, when we ended the last segment, I asked Ross to think about the number one suggestion he would give to entrepreneurs who are kind of in that, you know, not in the hotspot areas and maybe not fall into the pattern recognition as Ross stated. So, Ross, what would be that one piece of advice that you think all entrepreneurs should just have top of mind?
You know, in the innovation blind spot, I talk about this. We actually looked at traits of hundreds of entrepreneurs we've worked with, and the single trait that most predicted success with self-awareness. The amazing thing about blind spots is you can't see them yourself. It takes friends, it takes mentors to be able to see them. So the single biggest piece of advice I would ask is always ask for feedback. Say, what am I missing? How am I doing? The people who love you the most are going to give you the harshest feedback. Don't take it personally, but having someone else illuminate your blind spot just might be the difference between success and failure.
I did 13 startups before I finally got my one IPO, right? So I guess I went on the endurance record, I guess.
Yeah.
Or lucky 13 for me. But in some cases, friends and family just want to be nice. So how do you word this to give those people permission to be critical, right? Your mom always is going to be nice to you.
Our team at Village Capital, we are all, my teammates are so nice and sometimes too nice. And one of my colleagues developed this kind of saying around the office, which is hashtag real talk. And hashtag real talk is licensed to basically say whatever you want to say. And if you give someone pretty critical feedback after that, it's you asked for it. So I would say, it's great to be told how great you are. It's better to ask for feedback that maybe stings a little bit. And if it stings a little bit, it's probably because it's a little bit true and it's the best advice you've got.
And what do you think the is it the fact that we just can't see our blind spots? Is it natural bias? Is it lack of confidence? Is it we just want to believe our own PR? Is it all the above of that?
I mean, the world is complicated, right? I mean, you're dealing with thousands of pieces of information a day, and you have to simplify it. And we take mental shortcuts all the time. And this goes back to the days of the caveman, like big teeth equal bad, shade equals good. And so, you know, having blind spots is normal. We've all got them. It's perfectly natural. But asking for and being open to feedback, that's how we get better.
So we're going to wrap up with Ross here for here in a little bit. But before we wrap this up too much, I just want to put a plug in. Look, you know, we have a lot of authors out here. I still got Noah Scallon's book, which I absolutely love, which is his 6 30-day creative sprints. I know a number of you are doing it because I see you doing those and you're also emailing me. Love that. But here's a book, particularly if you are an entrepreneur, innovator, trying to do something interesting that's outside of that, you know, as Ross has shared with us today, you don't fit into the pattern of the typical looking for that funding in a typical way. You want to check this book out. Trust me, it is well worth it. The foreword's written by Steve Case, co-founder of AOL. I got to know Steve a little bit when I was still living in Virginia. You want to check this out. So, Ross, if people want to follow what you're up to, where's the best place they can keep track of what you're doing?
You can go to Twitter. I'm at Ross Baird, R-O-S-S-B-A-I-R-D, and you can send me a direct message and tell me what you're up to. Or you can go to Village Capital's website, vilcap.com.
Okay, and we'll have all of those links in the show notes, so you can hop on over to killerinnovations.com. If you're driving in a car, don't try to write this down. We'll have them all up in the show notes so that you can track Ross down and get connected with him. And Ross, where can they get the book? I'm assuming Amazon, all the normal book places.
Yeah, Amazon, anywhere they sell books, Innovation, Blind Spot, check it out and drop me a line on Twitter and let me know what you think about it.
Perfect, perfect. Is it available in audio yet?
It is. It's on Audible. Amazingly, people still like audio CDs, and you can get it on that too.
I did not do that for my book. but Audible is how I'm catching up on all of my books. So, hey Ross, thank you very much. Great job on the book. It's a killer. Love it. And I wish you the best of success on as you get out there and get the book promoted. And love to stay in touch. You're doing great work, and you're right in the sweet spot of what we're passionate about here at Killer Innovations, and I would love to stay in contact with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. This is great.
So, as we wrap up here for today's show, I want to give you a quick update on a couple things. One is if you haven't checked it out, hop on over to the innovators.community. It's the community portion area that we hang out in. It's a private Slack community, so it allows you to connect with leading innovators from around the world. We've got innovators that, you know, for instance, the former head of innovation from Kroger Foods is there, entrepreneur startup companies to other prominent people. And it's not just an area for you to get advice, but also to give advice. We all bring different experiences. And just as Ross just said about the blind spot, this could be potentially a group of mentors to come around your idea and give you feedback, but at the same time, you give feedback to other people's ideas. So this is really finding that community of innovators, inventors, entrepreneurs, designers, anything on the creative innovation side of the economy is kind of how we describe it. So you want to check that out. Hop on over to the innovators.community and check that out. That's where I'm hanging out. In fact, every day, 7 days a week, I am over there in that Slack channel interacting and also asking for advice. So I'm also out there asking for input and advice. Let's see, coming up, we've got new content. We've got some great new shows that are coming up. Check out, not only subscribe to the show over on iTunes or iHeartRadio or Google Play, whichever your preferences, Also, check out Kim McNicholas' show. It's Kim McNicholas on Innovation. You can just go to iTunes and just type Kim, and it immediately comes up. So check that out. And with that, we're going to wrap up today's show. And get out there. Get your ideas out there. Don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Go change the world. The world needs your ideas out there. And with that, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week here on Killer Innovations.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,